are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, March 25th, 2019. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, little programming change. Mueller's report drops, and we probably aren't going to know really what's in it for a long time. Meanwhile, what's left? Multiple ongoing criminal investigations of the president, more Democratic oversight. Meanwhile, in Venezuela, 100 Russian troops land to fix equipment. That's nice. Israel responding to rocket fire raids Gaza. Massive flooding. And a blizzard in the Midwest leave thousands stranded. And the heartwarming story of a 9-year-old American girl detained at the border by our border personnel for looking Mexican. Protests pushed the Guggenheim Museum to reject the Sacklers drug money. And the DCCC threatens anyone who would help a primary challenger in the upcoming primaries in 2020. Meanwhile, the Congo suffers its second worst Ebola outbreak, or I should say the world's second worst Ebola outbreak ever. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. We changed, you know, occasionally we do this. I'd say we do this maybe, we do this like once a month, maybe, where, you know, we have someone booked and some big news drops and we decide to push the guest because it would be weird on some level not to address the news of the day. And actually, it's the news of Friday night, when the Robert Mueller investigation, or at least that, I guess specifically the Mueller investigation, came to an end. The report was filed. And I don't know if this is going to be the biggest show, the longest show we've had, or the, you know, the most dedicated show we've had to the Russian investigation. We've talked to Marcy Wheeler a couple of times in the past, I think, about at least in some part of the Russian investigation. Now, there are also, you know, multiple other investigations going on that came out of Mueller's finding other criminal activities in the course of his potentially criminal activities in the course of his investigation. And we now, at the very least, have a sense of the breadth of the Mueller investigation. And it was pretty narrow, and he clearly dished off a lot of stuff to the Southern District of New York, and I suspect also provided some information maybe for the Attorney General's office in New York State, conceivably other agencies that we're just not aware of. But in the context of this investigation, it appears to be over. And the Trump folks are saying that it totally exonerates Donald Trump. That is unlikely. And one of the sort of tells that it's probably unlikely is this clip from Devin Nunes on Fox this morning. This is a very, very odd perspective to take on an investigation that has taken place that clears your the person that you are surrogating for.
Okay, so Congressman, you talk about being obstructed by the Department of Justice, the FBI, in your investigation of the situation. But what about President Trump's ability to declassify?
I should remind you that Devin Nunes was the guy who jumped out of his car in the middle of like at 10 p.m. at night. I don't know if people remember this story, because he got a call from the White House and physically ran to the White House. Got a hold and intercepted some material back then. Now, who knows what that was about? I guess we will never know. But just to give you a sense of who Devin Nunes is, as he was the chair of the Intel Committee for 2 years as the Republican leader on that committee.
Classify all of the documents that you are in pursuit of. He has the ability to do that. He has not done it. Do you think he still should?
Absolutely. So the Mueller report, a lot of people, what does it say? We can just, burn it up. I mean, it is a partisan document. So there's going to be a lot of calls for that. And the Democrats say, we got to see the underlying information. What we really need to see is, what was the FBI's involvement with Fusion GPS? Who were they? Who did they know about? What? And I'm sorry, I don't want to gloss over this for the viewers, but Fusion GPS was essentially the Hillary Clinton campaign. They were hired by the Clinton campaign. So we need to see all of that. We need the FISAs fully disclosed. We need everyone that Mueller talked to, including his interactions with Jerome Corsi, who you just had on the show.
So he wants to burn the report that supposedly is exculpatory for the president. That is a very, very odd reaction.
Well, you just want to be fair
to that report.
You don't want to rub it in.
You don't want to rub it in. I mean, if you read a whole report about how ethical I was and how everything was so clean, then it just makes the whole thing just, it's already a very sensitive time for people.
Don't want to boast.
There's a lot of prescriptions getting refilled. There's a lot of Mueller effigies being burned.
Act like you've been there before.
Yeah, been here before. Don't rub it in.
Now, understand, no one has seen the Mueller report at this point except for probably the President of the United States. Well, let me put it this way. No one has seen the report that we are aware of except for the President of the United States and obviously William Barr, who is the Attorney General, and Rod Rosenstein, who is the, the Assistant Attorney General, the formerly acting Attorney General, at least in the context of this case. So the question is, will the underlying information in the report, and frankly, the conclusions of the report, be released? Obviously, there's some stuff that has to be redacted because it's grand jury information, and the DOJ has regulations in regards to that. But we, to the extent that we have even seen any words from the Mueller report, all we've seen is in the context of, with a little bit of ellipses and changing of the capitalization, which is an indication that we're seeing actually like things somewhat out of context, in a letter written by William Barr, who the last big letter he wrote regarding the DOJ was when he was not at the DOJ, where he wrote a 19-page brief on why the president cannot be indicted for obstruction of justice and without having seen any of the underlying evidence. So there's a lot of question as to whether he should have recused himself, particularly on the question of obstruction of justice. If you are secularly against the idea of obstruction of justice for the president, then it's very hard for, I think, folks to take your assessment at face value, that there's no cause for obstruction of justice. But we're going to dig into this today a little bit. There's a couple of things to point out. Frankly, from the very beginning, if you've been listening to this show of this investigation and prior to that, it's been my understanding that you cannot indict a sitting president. And further, this was going to be a political process, and there was going to be no way a Republican Senate was going to vote to convict on anything. So there's, in that regard, it's not a surprise. I think to the extent that I'm surprised by anything in the context of this report is that it was so narrowly tailored, at least to the extent that we understand what he was there to investigate, and that we haven't heard of, that I find it hard to believe that for some reason, maybe we just didn't hear about it, that Jared Kushner and Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump were not in, I mean, maybe they were, we just never heard about it, but it was never reported, as far as I know, that any of those three sat down and spoke to Mueller. And even the president supposedly wrote a couple of questions, answered a couple questions by writing. So I'd be very surprised if those three were not interviewed in some fashion, particularly given the scope of how many people were interviewed. But we'll get to that in a moment. Folks, you remember 1989? That was the year the World Wide Web was invented. Did you guys even remember that it was called World Wide Web? Were you even aware?
Do you know it takes less time to say World Wide Web than WWW?
WWW takes longer than World Wide Web.
Yep.
There you go. Was that all right? I'm not even going to know. But as you know, Matt, despite the fact that people have been saying WWW, we've come a long way since then. So why does it feel like software you use every day at work is stuck in the past? Take a leap into the future by finding the right software for your business on Capterra.com. This is the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. This is like basically going to, it's an aggregator. That's all it is. I mean, I don't want to say that's all it is, but it's not much more complicated than that. They aggregate all of the various business softwares in an extraordinarily large and almost shockingly large, I had no idea. I didn't even know these industries existed, never mind that there were software for it. And they have over 700,000 reviews of these products from real software users. Capterra has everything you need to make an informed decision. You can search more than 700 specific categories of software, from project management to email marketing. I don't even think that's as wide of a berth. It's just like veterinarian scheduling and stuff like that.
Industry discovery for Sam Cedar.
Yeah, I do spend, I have like when I'm, I do go around to Capterra and just go like, just contemplate what my life would be like if I was like, you know, using party management software or something like that. No matter what your business needs are, Capterra makes it easy to discover the right solution fast. Visit Capterra.com/majority for free today to find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. Capterra.com/majority. That's Capterra, Capterra.com/majority. Also, are you trying to drink more water? You should. It's hugely important to stay hydrated. Liquid IV is not your average electrolyte drink mix. It hydrates you faster and more efficiently than water alone. It has the added bonus of vitamin C, B3, B5, B6, and B12. It's a healthy alternative to traditional sugary sports drinks because there are no artificial flavors or preservatives. Instead, it's made with non-GMO, clean ingredients that are vegan and free of gluten, dairy, and soy. It's perfect for fueling tough workouts, helping to prevent muscle fatigue, and promoting healthy post-workout recovery. I don't work out as much as I should, but I do sometimes drink too much alcohol.
Sometimes I need recovery. Hello.
This is my regimen. If I know that I've overdone it.
I take a walk and then I have a drink and then I walk a little bit more and I drink a little bit more.
No,
and
that's
then I stumble and then I drink. I need recovery.
No, look, there are times where I overindulge, and if I'm smart that night, I'll drink a packet of Liquid IV. I don't know if they want this associated with that, but that's the way I use it. And first thing in the morning, If I'm feeling like I've gotten a little dehydrated because maybe I've taken a plane.
It's such an incredible product that you can use it for peak performance or minimum performance.
Liquid IV is the fastest growing hydration brand you can find. I mean, it's what's really sad is what your peak performance is, though. Even Costco, you can find them at all. We'll do the boxing. Let's do it.
We're back to the boxing.
Costco's
I
nationwide.
Told you, I got myself health care. So we can do it.
Let's do this. I love Liquid IV. We'll get Liquid IV to sponsor it. And I know you will, too. Right now, my listeners get 20% off at liquidiv.com when you use my code MAJORITY at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order on Liquid IV's website. Go to liquidiv.com and enter my promo code MAJORITY to get your savings and start getting better hydration. liquidiv.com. Promo code MAJORITY. Don't wait. Get hydrated today. And folks, lastly, it may feel like cybercrime is something that happens to other people. But stealing data from unsuspecting people on public Wi-Fi is one of the simplest ways for hackers to make money. When you leave your internet connection unencrypted, you might as well be writing your passwords and credit card numbers on a huge billboard for the whole world to see. You can protect yourself today with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of your computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever. Turning on ExpressVPN protection only takes one click, and it costs less than $7 a month. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can protect your online activity today. Find out how you can get 3 months free at expressvpn.com/majority. That's express, expressvpn.com/majority for 3 months free with a one-year package. Visit expressvpn.com/majority to learn more. All right, so let's dig into this letter that's out there. This is a letter that goes to Lindsey Graham, Dianne Feinstein, as ranking members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and Gerald Nadler and Doug Collins in the House Judiciary Committee. Barr writes that on Friday, the special counsel submitted to me a confidential report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions, why they declined to support. What?
I'm just laughing because Michael's laughing.
Sorry, just go ahead. Carry on.
Or declination decisions. What's the matter with that?
You said declination the first time.
My God, you're like a 3-year-old.
Yes.
The declination.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Back to the Mueller report. Excuse me.
You know, like I leave home for just a moment where someone's not saying, Dad, spell I cup.
That's a classic.
Like over and over again, the way that it entertains him.
He's inherited your sense of humor.
Yeah, he definitely has.
He's a cool kid.
And then every time I have to pretend like I got caught with something, like, what? Okay, I see you pee. Oh, what? Darn it! And he just laughs. And I can't believe that you're sitting there giggling because I said declination.
Your son sounds cool.
What? My son is cool.
He's a cool kid.
I'm hoping that by the time he's Michael's age, declination will not be like...
You didn't say declination. Like, you said declination.
All right. Here we go.
Get your facts
straight. Anyways, well, this take it up with Bill Barr. Special counsel has also referred... he goes on to say, a special counsel has obtained a number of indictments and convictions of individuals and entities in connection with his investigation, all of which have been publicly disclosed. So there's no more work for the Mueller investigation to do. As you also know, a reminder... The Mueller investigation paid for itself. In fact, I think it actually has a bonus. My understanding of the cost of it was around $25 million.
It's like it pays to go after white-collar crime.
And I think at the very least, they got like 43 out of Manafort. So that's a pretty good deal. enough of these things, and maybe we could actually deal with like the homeless situation in any given, you know, multiple cities around the country. Special counsel also referred several matters to other offices for further action. Now, we know this. We know this from the testimony of Michael Cohen that he's dealing with the Southern District of New York. There, I mean, we don't know what other offices there were, but we know at least one of them was the Southern District of New York. So there's other things that are cooking, and we don't know exactly what they're in regards to the inauguration, payments made contrary to election laws. We don't know what else. The report does not recommend any further indictments, nor did the special counsel obtain any sealed indictments that have yet to be made public. So this is, it's over. At least in terms of this narrow investigation. The special counsel's report is divided into two parts. The first describes the results of the special counsel's investigation into Russia's interference in the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The report outlines the Russian effort to influence the election and documents crimes committed by persons associated with the Russian government in connection with those efforts. So,
those are the GRU officers that they indicted?
And IRA as well, which is the Internet, we'll get down to it, but Internet Research Association or something to that effect. So, look. We've said a million times, I certainly don't want to relitigate this, that there is probably a dozen but-fors that led to Donald Trump's election. I don't know that anything that Russia did in any way impacted the outcome of the election. When you're talking about the very small size of 70,000 people across three states in an election where 240 million people voted. Who knows what it takes to sway those type of votes or to depress the votes of other people? It's conceivable this contributed to it. Who knows? I think I can come up with at least 10 other reasons off the top of my head, some of which outside of the the control of Hillary Clinton, others a function of Clinton's past and campaign decisions. Here is James Comey trying to take the long view. The geologic time offers useful perspective. I would argue that there's clear data that Comey, in breaking Justice Department rules, And talking about the Clinton investigation, announcing that he was reopening it, and then ultimately 3 weeks later that it was closing again, there's clear data that that had a huge impact on, huge within the context of the margin that we're talking about. And, you know, he probably did that because he thought this, or at least I think this investigation in particular, which was ongoing prior to Mueller being there, could lead to an indictment of Donald Trump. And I'm quite sure he did that. And I think he's more or less said this now, that he was doing that because he wanted to make sure that he was appearing impartial, anticipating a President Clinton and an indictment of Donald Trump in, you know, Q2 of 2017. I guess the bank shot of this may have, the Russian involvement may have done it that way. But Comey certainly had an ability to not do that. And then there are other factors, of course, as well, both strategic and tactical, taken by the Clinton campaign. And, you know, the fact that there was a 40-year-old industry of attacking Clintons and even the more nascent ones that are a little more justified. So but we do know that if you're going to take Mueller's word on any of these things, the one definitive thing that came out of the Mueller investigation, aside from multiple people going to jail for extended period of times on crimes that at least were associated with this, that there was criminal interference with the election by people who are associated with the Russian government. That is definitive. At least, you know, as much as, you know, William Barr is willing to tell us, and it would be very odd if he was making that pronouncement if it wasn't true, because that's going to be upsetting to Donald Trump, of course. Whether it was determinative on the elections, not really relevant to that question. Do I have a problem with it? Yeah, in the same way that I think that we should not be interfering with Venezuela's election either. I just don't think that we should be doing that. And it would be odd for us not to uphold that principle for our own elections. Nevertheless, the report further explains that a primary consideration for the special counsel's investigation was whether any Americans, including individuals associated with the Trump campaign, joined the Russian conspiracies to influence the election, which would be a federal crime. The special counsel's investigation. All right, now this is important right here, because people are flagging this as sort of a little bit of a bait and switch that that Barr is engaged in here. Barr's words: the special counsel's investigation did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated with Russia in its efforts to influence the 2016 U.S. presidential election. As the report states, then there's a colon, then there's a quote, then there is a bracketed capital T, which indicates that this is not the way the sentence starts in the Mueller report, but rather it is part of another sentence. I don't know if that's relevant or not. Just telling you what it says. The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. Now, it's important to note, and I found a guy on Twitter who expressed it well, and I'm going to the difference between those two sentences, because this is this gets a little bit, you know, legally. And you need to sort of, I think, you know, I think lawyers are pretty good at this, because that's what they do. I mean, they get a little bit sniggly on the way these things are read. And I'm trying to find it here. Oh, yeah, here it is. Okay. So these two sentences, Barr says that Mueller did not find any conspiracy or coordination, which, of course, suggests the absence of evidence. But that is not what the Mueller report, to the extent that we can see this one sentence, says. It says it did not establish. Those are two different things. You can see evidence, but it's not significant enough to cross a threshold in which you could legally charge somebody. So there can be evidence of that. It's just, and so what I've been told by a former prosecutor in the DOJ is that usually you need about 85% to before you'll bring a case. You need about 85% of, assuredness in terms of getting there to establish it. So Barr goes out ahead. I mean, it's a very weird juxtaposition of two sentences, right? Because, as you know, as a literary person, Matt, you could have just said the special counsel report states and then just quoted it as you did there. But Barr takes it a little further. And it includes the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it in Barr's speaking. Right. He goes on to say the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it conspired or coordinated. But the report does not say that. The report says members of the Trump campaign. What's the difference is that maybe you have conduits. I don't know. It's just a very odd thing for somebody who has obviously supposedly scrutinized this stuff intensely, right? So you've got that established. You've got also the narrowness of it. And Third, Mueller's quote only references the Trump campaign. It says nothing about anyone associated with it. And Mueller cites the Russian government in its election activities, in interference activities. That's an important note there. Because if I say the difference between what Michael does as a contributor on the show is different than what Michael does. And they very specifically talk about the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its interference activities. Now, we can't tell what else is in the report, but it's quite possible that the first half of that sentence is, we did find that people associated with the Trump campaign were involved with the Russian government in getting illegal permits for, you know, parking or whatever it is. But the investigation did not establish that. I mean, because there could be a but there. And so, or it could be, however, in regards to our purview of our investigation, the investigation did not establish. I mean, so we just don't know. And we do know that Barr is trying to expand the findings there. Now, maybe he's just, you know, coincidentally, that's what it said, and he just didn't cite the other stuff. But that's one thing to note. The letter also is that there's this divergence. There's a very there's a narrowness that Barr is seems to want to expand. And I'm not clear why one would do that. The special counsel's investigation determined that there were two main Russian efforts to influence the 2016 election. The first involved attempts by Russian organization, the Internet Research Agency, that's the IRA, to conduct disinformation and social media operations in the United States designed to sow social discord, eventually with the aim of interfering with the election. You know, I don't know how you quantify whether that was a but for in terms of the election outcome, but that happened. The second element involved the Russian government's efforts to conduct computer hacking operations designed to gather and disseminate information to influence the election. The special counsel found that Russian government actors successfully hacked into computers and obtained emails from persons affiliated with the Clinton campaign and Democratic Party organizations and publicly disseminated those materials through various intermediaries and WikiLeaks, including WikiLeaks. Now, that is what was determined by this investigation, that the hacking did happen. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're just making that up to cover up for the, you know, what happened to Seth Rich. But that is what this investigation found. I mean, if you feel like this in any way exonerates Donald Trump or vindicates any notion that they shouldn't have investigated as to whether Donald Trump conspired with Russians, then you also have to accept the findings from the same Mueller that, yes, the Russians interfered in the election by dumping all these emails, which were, I would say, I would argue, were also sort of, you know, relevant, at least in the election. As noted above, the special counsel did not find that the Trump campaign or anyone associated with it, although that's not what that sentence said above, conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russian-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. So what's clear is the Russians did this without anyone from the Trump campaign coordinating it or telling them that. Now, that's a pretty narrow thing. Because the whole other part of this is you did me a solid, I'm going to do you a solid. Or you did me a solid, I'm going to do you a solid, so do me more solids. That part was not examined. The idea of like, hey, I know it was you guys who did the the hack and the leak of the emails, and I know it because Roger Stone, not affiliated with the campaign, told me that you guys did it and that it was coming. Great. I appreciate that. Thank you. And as a token of my esteem, let's talk about adoption. Or let's talk about rolling back some sanctions. And if you're so inclined, you know, to send me another thank you card, you know, gift, so be it, right? Like Russia, if you're listening, get more, get those other 30,000 emails, right? I mean, so, but that, what I just described, appears to have fallen outside of what the investigation was about. There's a footnote. In assessing potential conspiracy charges, the special counsel also considered whether members of the Trump campaign coordinated with Russian election interference activities. The special counsel defined coordination as an agreement, tacit or expressed, between the Trump campaign and Russian government on an election interference. So these things can happen. You know, I mean, it's sort of like, hey, I'm going to support you in your election just because I know you're the type of person who will roll back banking shit. Not criminal.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, there's no law against that, right?
I mean, you do something and I do something because I like that you did something, and then you do something, and like, that's like, you know, that's like a, this is like a love story. That's not even like a,
there's a reason oligarchs of any country would want a Republican president to win.
Sure. Of course.
Yeah, like it could be bad and damaging and even sketchy without technically breaking the law.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Within the narrow scope of what they're investigating here, none of that happened. I don't, you know, the, now what the investigation, again, the narrowness of the investigation is like, it doesn't talk about other things that could have happened. Maybe there were illegal dealings with Trump Tower. We don't know. That's not part of the purview of this. Special counsel. Okay. And then the second part of the question was obstruction. The special counsel did not draw a conclusion one way or another as to whether the examined conduct constituted obstruction. Special counsel states that, quote, and in this instance, they kept the W a lowercase, weird. While this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him of committing the crime of obstruction. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and I have concluded that the evidence developed during the special counsel's investigation is not sufficient to establish that the president committed an obstruction of justice offense. In making this determination, we noted that the special counsel recognized that, quote, the evidence does not establish that the president was involved in an underlying crime related to Russian election interference, end quote, and that while not determinative, the absence of such evidence bears upon the president's intent with respect to obstruction. So in other words, because the investigation did not find that Trump was conspiring with the Russians to hack into the emails, that any obstruction that went on almost definitionally could not be obstruction.
Yeah, because there was nothing there to obstruct, right?
Well, you didn't say
that narrow thing.
Exactly. Now, generally speaking, to obtain and sustain an obstruction conviction, the government would need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a person acting with corrupt intent engaged in obstructive conduct with a sufficient nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding. Now, that to me, Donald Trump clearly obstructed, right? Like we saw this. trying to get people to change their testimony, coordinating with people to lie to the investigation as to whether they're actually cooperating, and it turns out they're not. That's all part of obstruction. The question is, did that obstructive conduct have a sufficient nexus to a pending or contemplated proceeding? Now, it seems to me that it's conceivable that the stuff that I've just talked about, floating pardons, telling Manafort to be strong, saying that I've fired Comey because
hang in there.
Calling people rats on Twitter.
Calling people rats on Twitter.
Complaining about RICO as a concept.
It's conceivable that the proceedings that the Southern District of New York, that they could look at the obstruction, these exact same activities, and say that they are more related to a pending. I don't know. But, and we, you know, it's very hard to look at this. Aside from the fact that it seems very weird that that this decision was already made before this guy became even attorney general, right? I mean, he had already come to this conclusion before having seen any of the evidence. Just saying as a matter of law, there was no obstruction here. And it's also sort of absurd, I think, concept. And I think some people have an issue with that. But part of the reason why obstruction exists is because it becomes impossible to establish what the actual facts were in this situation, right? And maybe it's a measure of if you find some facts, but they don't reach the 85% level or they don't reach the 50% level, then that's not enough to say that there could be more there but for the obstruction. But that's what he's written. And that's why I think people are focusing on the obstruction, because it really seems to, at that point, have been a question not for the DOJ, to the prosecutor decided that it was still an open case. And William Barr decided to make it a closed case. He goes on to say, lastly, about the restrictions that are upon him as to letting folks know about what the underlying stuff is in the report. Given these restrictions, the schedule for processing the report depends in part on how quickly the department can identify the 6E material that by law cannot be made public. This is 6E material is the federal rule of criminal procedure on what can be released from a grand jury. Separately, he says, I must also identify any information that could impact other ongoing matters, including those that the special counsel has referred to other offices. So that's going to be the big thing, right? There's an ongoing investigation about all the criminal activity, so I can't let you know about one of the stuff that he did. As soon as that process is complete, they were really quick, though, with the obstruction stuff. They managed to get through that report pretty quickly on that regard. I'll be in a position to move forward expeditiously in determining what can be released in light of applicable law, regulations, and departmental procedure policies. So my guess is we're not going to see anything of any substance until after the election.
Nice try, Samantha.
And that total election vindication. Could be, and that election could be the 2020, or it could be the 2020, the 2024.
It was a fake investigation, and now we need the real investigation, which was about why the investigation started. We need a real one.
And it's uranium one.
Uranium one and Hillary Clinton, but it was a very terrible thing. And you and Rachel Maddow and all the rest, you'll keep going on and on and on and on. You are like, did you ever watch Monty Python? That would be exactly the type of nerdy crap you would watch.
I did.
Do you remember the knight who kept having limbs cut off and was like, yeah, it's not over yet. This is loser liberals talking about the Mueller report.
How do you
take the L?
How do you know about it?
Take the L.
Like,
Did you notice that in there was brackets where Bill Barr wrote that maybe this was, and then that was indented on a second paragraph? Whatever. Total vindication, fake news. Fake investigation.
There's a couple of other things that I think are still extant about this, too, is that, you know, this is a... This was an investigation that was launched pre-Steele dossier. There was a FISA warrant on Carter Page a year before, maybe even before Donald Trump declared.
I literally forgot about Carter Page.
Right?
Oh, man, there were some great characters in this saga.
There was an intelligence community, you know, decision to launch this investigation at a time where, you know, the stakes were still high. Obviously, the guy was running for president. He hadn't won the nomination yet, but it looked like he could. And, you know, it would be interesting to find out, like, that data, too. Because, look, FBI, CIA, these are problematic agencies through the years. There's been problems with these agencies. And it would be curious to see, and I think it was, you know, be curious to see just sort of how, what was setting off such alarm bells in the intelligence community that got this investigation going. I think what really sort of like doubled up, I mean, in retrospect now, it looks like he should have just let Comey keep his job and saved all of us this, you know, like talk about a guy walking around like he's guilty. I mean, that's the thing. I knew a cop who once told me, he's like, you know, the way that we justify this stuff is like for every ticket you get, you've probably like committed 50 speeding offenses or traffic violations or whatnot. Like this is one of those classic cases where I'm sure Trump was like, I was covering up the money laundering and they get me on this stuff.
Well, that's definitely true. And I think another thing that we did say from the beginning, which is like, if you had a more global frame of like, what about Trump's relationship to the Mercers, to the Saudis, to the Emiratis, to the Israelis, yeah, to the everything, you know, it would have been a more fruitful way of
Israel and
setting the conversation. Emirati
gate,
we don't know that there aren't investigations to that effect.
I've heard as much. I mean, we don't, of course, but I'm talking more broadly as a strategy that a lot of people did seriously narrow it.
Well,
I'm
that's the other
thing.
Or even a media frame.
Okay.
Yeah, that's literally what I'm saying. It's a media frame.
From a political standpoint, it has been highly problematic to make this the focus. And we've talked about this. And I think part of the reason why it was done was because it was just more digestible. Like you make it, some type of like major, not major, but you make it, it's more simplistic. And
I also think we're going to have to say that it's more, that's true, but I think that also a omnibus conversation about sort of broader money and oligarchic corruption in our system would implicate basically the entire modern political class.
Right.
And like, that's the other big thing.
Yeah, they don't
here.
Want that. I mean, I was going to ask why they limited it to this one very ambitious thing when it seems like they could have got him on some more quotidian crimes. Mueller?
Well, Mueller was not, he didn't come up with this idea to do this investigation. This was pressure because they fired Comey. And this was, he was mandated this by Rosenstein. Like, you know, it wasn't Mueller's decision. And if I'm Mueller, I'm terrified of all of it. I know he's a brave Marine and whatnot, but I would be terrified.
Please,
like, am I going to be the one who's going to, like, I mean, he punted on the obstruction. He punted on the obstruction. And that's pretty weak tea. Like, you know, either come out and say you found it or you didn't.
Well, it's like the Warren Commission completely destroyed Justice Earl Warren's reputation, too.
People get very nervous, I think, in these instances. Like, you know, am I going to go down with the ship here? And
it just brings up wider issues with the system itself, I think.
I think we need to find out what ultimately, like, the Southern District of New York, where he referred what to. But there's no doubt in my mind that there were paths that they saw that they didn't want to follow. I mean, because how could they not?
Can we? I just want to also say, like, I think like a pox on both houses, at least for me politically, because I think on one hand, there absolutely was a ridiculous overemphasis on this, and I just object to it politically. And people were trying to escape from a much bigger conversation and outsource things to a police investigation. And I have a critique of that. And then conversely, even the quote unquote resistance, which I critique a lot, includes, you know, all of those individual groups and all sorts of incredible organizing, which won the House and have driven the guy's approval ratings down. So, you know, both of these things are true simultaneously.
Well, and I think, you know, Democrats were smart. They did not run on this stuff in the 2018 election.
Well, right. And that was a big thing that they didn't do that. That was very smart.
Just one last thing. You know, the Department of Justice regulation requires the special counsel to report all of the prosecution or declination decisions. And so they're there in that report. And it seems to me, if this is exculpatory, then it would behoove really the body politic to release that report as soon as possible. I don't think they're going to, because I don't think it's going to make Donald Trump look very good. He may not have been guilty of, he may not have been prosecutable in this narrow sense, but I get the sense that there's other things in there they don't want. That may be why they would want to burn that report. That's just my guess. And we'll take a break and go into the fun half. I mean, you know, one of the things, the interesting phenomena is here is that there is, I mean, I can understand the perspective that, like, the media oversold this stuff quite a bit.
Oh, yeah,
certain aspects of the media. Yeah, no, I mean, I think without a doubt. I mean, it drove ratings. And look, there's a certain amount of intrigue. The investigation is going on. I think people got out ahead of the investigation. You know, I think, like I said,
it's sort of why, like, local news always covers what the local police department's doing. It's easy, ready-made stories.
Yeah, but the thing is that we didn't really have a sense of what was going on internally in these investigations at all. We never did, and they did a very good job of not leaking it. But I do think that there is a little bit of exaggeration as to, like, I don't think that we ever came close to declaring war with Russia. I don't think that, you know, it's one thing to say that the a huge chunk of the media showed how ratings driven and how venal and how out in or I should say how you know, sort of entertainment-y the media can be. I think that's a very legitimate criticism, one which you could have made even without the report coming back in, you know, this way, frankly, because we just didn't know. I'm a fan of Matt Taibbi's, but to compare this with weapons of mass destruction,
I just, to be clear, I mean, I'm having him on tomorrow. He doesn't suggest that there is a fallout or moral equivalency in terms of deaths of civilians.
That to me,
he's talking about
is,
the intelligence apparatus,
yeah,
specifically.
That to me, well, first off, the dynamic was completely different. I mean, I don't want to put you in a position of defending it, but if you want to, I'm happy to do that.
Well,
but
I said my piece. It's just obviously awkward. Shouldn't you have him on at some point?
Yeah, I will. It just, I just read the piece today, though.
Yeah.
One, the way the intelligence screwed up, he's actually not talking about the intelligence, because that would also be wrong, because the intelligence,
talking
we know.
About the media around the intelligence.
Well, the media, right. Period. And the way the media behaved was, I would say it was was similar. I mean, I guess you could also make the same argument in terms of Benghazi in some respects. Maybe Benghazi didn't get as big, but it was certainly as prolonged. 7 years. Benghazi did not have any official. Oh, here he is. Here's what I wrote about Russiagate as compared to The WMD mess had a massive real-world negative impact, leading to 100,000 deaths, trillion lost taxpayer debt. Unless Russiagate leads, we're unlikely to see that level of consequence. Still, Russiagate has led to an unprecedented cooperation between the government and internet platforms like Twitter, like Facebook, Twitter, and Google, all of which are censoring pages on the left, right, in the name of preventing sowing and discord. Now, wait a second. See, the thing is, though, is that this report, if what Barr has said is true, Russians did engage in this activity.
Yeah, but that's not what he's talking about.
Well,
he's the cooperation between government.
Well, wait a second. Are you going to defend this, or are you going to let me read it? Because he said Russiagate has led to unprecedented cooperation between the government and internet. That is true.
Right.
Now, of course, these platforms did not exist during WMD. Like, I just want to know, like, why do you cite WMD if the real world negative impact is not even remotely close, that we don't have a nuclear conflict, that hundreds of thousands of people have not lost their lives. Weapons of mass destruction did not involve the government getting involved with Facebook or Twitter or Google, none of which existed in any fashion. The intelligence was not the same. You had a situation where they were actively, there were the president, and particularly the vice president of the United States, was actively seeking specific intelligence to support their theory. In this case, no, we didn't have that. You had a president, Obama, who sat on the information that he got about Russian interference, essentially, which may or may not have had
impact. He's talking about
impact.
Things like the Facebook partnering with the Atlantic Council to, as an example, take down Telesaur. He's talking about the broader fallout of these things. That's what he's talking about.
Well, I think first of all, none of that happened in with Iraq. I mean, it's just a very bad. Okay, so what I'm talking about is you can write that we should not have taken down Telesaur's Facebook page. I have no problem with that. But it doesn't have anything to do with weapons of mass destruction. There was a real desire, and there were politicians, but not government officials per se. I mean, you had people in the minority who were not even running these committees. You had people in the DOJ and FBI who, for whatever reason, way before Donald Trump became president, thought there was some type of problem. Under the president who had said Russia it's a joke to consider them our primary. It is shoehorning an idea. As a journalistic failure, however, WMD was a pimple compared to Russiagate. There's no point in bringing up WMD. It's just a poor analogy. And that's the breadth of my critique. And I feel bad for Telesaur that they don't have a Facebook page. And I think it's wrong. And I think that we need to break up Facebook. But it really, if it's not apt in terms of its journalistic failure and it's not apt analogy in terms of its real world impact, then it's just not an apt comparison. There are better ones.
I really appreciate the way that you have come at this, actually, Sam. I feel like the way we've covered it here is very different than the way they do it in the mainstream media.
Of course, I definitely think so.
Because, there obviously is something there. And the part that interests me is when you go further, deeper, and look at the influence of global oligarchy and corruption and money, and not just in our politics, but around the world. And I guess there was a, I never believed, I still don't believe that Trump is going to suffer any real consequences from this, but there's always a chance, and we got to use all the tools in our toolbox. The thing that I object to, and the thing that I will always mock, is the way, the function it served, the psychological function it served in the mainstream media, especially for liberals who did not want to look at any of the other deeper problems that led to Trump winning the election in 2016. And they didn't want to look at themselves, and they didn't want to feel culpable in any way for the political programs that they've advanced.
Yeah. I mean, with that said, I also think that you can go too far in that regard, because I think, you know, we get back to the debate as to whether it was, you know, economic anxiety or, you know, sort of racism that fueled some of this. I think it was probably, you know, there's probably some of everything in there. But I think the idea of having some type of, it's not like these were made up out of whole cloth. Like, the electorate was not aware of this stuff in any sort of dramatic fashion going in. It certainly didn't take it terribly seriously before Trump won. I mean, so, you know, some of this was real in the so far as that, like, maybe this was all just a plot by the FBI and CIA. But it is a little bit weird for the FBI and CIA and for Rod Rosenstein to be joking about wearing a wire to go in to talk to the president.
Well,
maybe he was joking.
That could be applied to, again, that's also, that could be a monument. That could be he's losing his mind. I mean, that could be any number of potential criminal conduct with Donald Trump, including this.
But I think it's quite clear the reason why Rod Rosenstein made that comment was because it was in the air that maybe Donald Trump was some type of, you know, agent or something like that. Like, and by in the air, I don't mean we watched Maddow last night and come into the White House. Well, it means in the DOJ.
I think we can decide, like, even that, I don't want to relitigate or argue about the title of Taibbi's piece, but I think I'm probably, you know, you could persuade me that that's a misuse of a title, but I'm more concerned, I think, than you are about how this is playing out with things like to me, Telesaur getting deplatformed isn't just like, oh, that's a bummer. That actually does have really serious implications, as long as these things are monopolies, if they're going to outsource their editorial to essentially, literally, neocon think tanks. That has major implications.
I also got problems with them outsourcing it to conservatives in general. Which
right.
I think
or frankly, any.
Proper,
I mean, or frankly, any, you know, as That's... long as they don't even. I mean, let's even be more idealistic and ridiculous here in a world that will never exist. How about them not even, you know, acknowledging the fact that they're media platforms and actually hiring editors and ombudsmen, which is never going to happen.
I think there has to be a way of having a conversation about this that takes all of these variables into account
and doesn't discount any of them, because they're all legitimate. I will contend that
I am unrivaled in calling for these things to be broken up for that very reason. That's also why I don't want government to nationalize it, because you'd have the opportunity for more of that. And except for they would end up putting it in some type of, like, you know, national security rubric. And so I want to see these things broken up without a doubt. And I would be very interested in seeing that piece. But a lot of people have not been able to have
there were sketchy things about Russia. Let's see what happens. This is a bigger story about oligarchy and corruption. And also there's a bunch of people, whether in Silicon Valley or the Democratic Party, that are misusing this so as to not do more serious policy and analysis.
Yeah, of course. All true. We've made those critiques. My big issue was that there's a certain amount of hyperbole on that, you know, is it's hard to critique the hyperbole that we saw in the context of, you know, Russia, 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 with saying, like, this is equivalent to and so I don't know what's left. I mean, if WMD was just a pimple compared to Russiagate, and it was nothing even close there. And it's also not about the world, real world negative impact. I don't know why you write it, except for to imply that it's like WMD lies. And the WMD lies, the issue, if we had never gone to war, it would have been bad for them to imply that there was WMD. But that it led to the deaths and dislocation of hundreds of thousands and millions was really what we're talking about when we say WMD. And so I just think that, like, it's, you know, people, you know, I think two wrongs generally do make things better.
Do you think people definitely got the WMD lesson, strictly speaking about the media and how the media was spun? Do you think that that pervaded society as much as this will?
See, the thing is, the reason why I think the WMD thing is a bad analogy is that the WMD was people being cowed in the wake of 9/11, the media refusing to stand up and challenge a narrative because of which in many respects was a much more scary scenario, because there was this national security thing, and it was literally like, you are treasonous if you in any way argue that we should not go to war or you present any of that. The reason why we're seeing so much Russia, Russia, Russia is because it is the, it's like, to me, what's more apt is like the OJ trials. Like, this was, for people, a narrative, wasn't based on nothing. I mean, you know, the DOJ was doing this. They were having an investigation. It was an unprecedented investigation. It was unprecedented charges. The charges were not...
Well, I mean, theoretically, Iraq wasn't based on nothing either. It was based on actual faulty intel, mainly Europe.
Wait a second. No, no.
No, no. It was a global consensus. When Robin Cook resigned from Parliament as a member of Tony Blair's cabinet, he said explicitly, we will find WMDs there, and I still oppose the invasion. That was a total consensus.
When the ambassador to the United States came back to Britain, I am afraid that the intelligence is being shaped around the policy. Yes. That was the quote. Yes. In other words, the policy is go attack Iraq, and they're fashioning the intelligence around it. There was no consensus whatsoever of what you're talking about.
No.
There was absolutely no reports coming internationally that there was weapons of mass destruction there. There was literally multiple teams.
I know
hundreds
that.
Of people on the ground.
But the argument then,
who I'm talking about then. I'm talking about the day before shock and awe.
People who opposed it said you will find some things there. That was unusual to say there's absolutely nothing there.
No, no.
And that
there was look, ricin in a vat.
No,
of
I agree.
Ricin,
I'm not.
You're
saying that there was literally from whole cloth there, and that isn't true. It was very broadly accepted.
The idea that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and defined as the ability to kill thousands of people, was built from whole cloth or reports of stuff existing 25 years earlier. Yes. I stand by that.
Yeah.
A big vat of ricin. Okay. My point being that this was an actual investigation that was started, not by MSNBC, but by the Justice Department when Comey was engaging in it. And then he fired Comey. And then he reportedly said to the Russians, I did that to get him out of the way. Like, this was not... The reaction and the dominance of this story and the way that people, but it was chasing a story that existed. And the more apt analogy is sort of like the thirst for ratings and
the psychological purpose that it served that got them the ratings.
Well, yes, I would agree with that as well. But it's also, you know, it's like the OJ trial, which dominated everything for years.
Yeah, the only reason I asked is I agree that WMD isn't a good metaphor, but just going on like the lesson the American people will learn about the media from that happening. I don't
nothing.
Think, yeah, well, I don't think people. I don't think the WMD lesson has really sunk in as much as I think this one will. I think, like, a cab driver, when I told him what I do in Phoenix, he's like, "Oh, what do you think is going to happen with this whole Mueller stuff?" I'm like, "I'm not expecting a whole lot," and he was like very dismissive of it too. I think that attitude is kind of pervasive, and if you were to defend like Taibbi's. I guess, like, complaint about what the media did here, it'd be that. Like, I think that's going to sink in more than the WMD lesson did.
That's right. Very I think it's optimistic different. About people's ability to form judgments and learn things.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I'm not even sure I know what the lesson is that people are supposed to
well,
walk away.
Well, dissatisfaction. Like, they discredit the media.
Oh, definitely.
They shot for the moon.
Right. Oh, definitely.
With this conspiracy theory, and they shot way higher than they needed to. And in the end, undermine their own credibility.
I don't think there's going to be any. I don't think there's going to be any lesson. I think there's just going to be you just undercut the authority of the media.
Exactly.
But I don't think anybody's going to learn anything from it. And I don't think people. The reason why you're not going to see it, you know, in terms of the. I mean, because this was basically, in many respects, a partisan thing. The weapons of mass destruction, the entire society was on board with this. And the segment of the population that was, you know, against it was completely shut out. There was no Fox News, you know, playing any type of role in the context or massive talk radio in the buildup to weapons of mass destruction. There was zero outlet for dissent.
That's another difference. Between the two things, right? Because the sector of the population that even cares about the Mueller report is much, much smaller than the sector of the population that you're talking about with the WMDs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I'm just thinking back to when Pod Save America had that Black Lives Matter activist on. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? And they were like hammering it, the Mueller report, the Democrats. And she was like, normal black people do not care about the Mueller report. Now, I don't think she was speaking for everyone, but I think in general, normal working class people of all races care more about their day-to-day lives and their quality of life.
And to be fair to the Democrats, they ran with that in mind, I think.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, good for them.
100%. But there was a lot of people who were making, you know, making careers off of this. I mean... And I don't.
I kind of regret not doing the Matt Mueller report.
I don't.
That's right. That would have been smart.
I don't think that. Why? Did you get offered that?
No, but like Matt Mueller report minute.
It works.
Oh.
I do my own.
Because you could have done the other. You could have been the other Matt Mueller. Wasn't there a Matt Mueller who was like one of those guys?
Oh, I don't know. Oh. I don't know, Matt.
Well, I'm sure that Rachel Maddow and company will all be resigning in shame very soon.
Well, I mean, frankly, I think I don't think things are going to change too dramatically. I mean, you got to see the report. They're not going to show the report. So there's going to be a lot of conjecture about what's in the report. And then it's just going to move on to the other trials. I mean, people like if you go to iTunes and you look at the top news shows, they are all murder mystery shows. And there's a reason for that.
Should do Law and Order Mueller report.
Right. Honestly. So, all right. We got to take a break. But let me remind you that if all of this is just too much, take a break. Take a leap into the future with Capterra.com, the leading free online resource to help you find the best software solution for your business. With over 700,000 reviews of products from real software users, Capterra can help you make an informed decision no matter what your business needs. Visit capterra.com/majority for free today to find the right tools to make 2019 the year for your business. Capterra.com/majority. Capterra, that's CAPTERRA.com/majority. Folks, just a reminder, this program relies on your support. Now that the Mueller investigation is over, we have lost a big source of our funding, which came from Louise Mensch, who Like, that's what I feel like. People are arguing against, like, Louise Mensch sometimes. And I'm like, is she even still?
Wait, what's wrong with Mensch?
I don't know.
She got a New York Times column back in the height of this.
Ron Stevens has one every week, and so does Barry Weiss. I mean.
Sure.
Yes. There's a problem over at the Times.
There's a problem
at the Times. Just a reminder that it's your support that makes this show possible. You can become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Jointhemajorityreport.com for just pennies a day. You can support this show, and we give you extra content every day. So check it out. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Michael, let me guess what's happening Tuesday. Is Matt Taibbi going to be on your show?
Matt Taibbi is. We will be taking statements of yours out of context for him to get pedantic and whine about. And
well,
we will
you
do
can
that.
Actually play them.
We will play them. I will probably revisit the Iraq Intel controversy as well. Matt Taibbi and Francesca Fiorentini are going to join us. We're not going to just talk about the Russia. We're going to also talk about APAC, because, and speaking of which, and this is something I think we did cover, there was actual Israel collusion.
Israelgate.
Do we know about, do we remember that? That the,
well, listen
the
to you now. Oh, to, Israel.
That was an actual documented one, and actually,
oh,
you don't have to listen to me now.
Who told you this?
Hear me,
Eric Garland?
You're forgetting your own shows.
We're having Garland on the illicit.
Yeah, Garland's coming on.
No joke.
I had no idea. It's all Bernie. All roads lead back to
Bernie. And now he's all serious. Oh, excuse me.
You're looking pretty serious yourself, buddy. Getting all fumy.
I think we as a nation need to come together about what happened with that game theory tweet. Because if you look in the replies, like Brian Seltzer and like, what's his name, Farenthold from
a lot of
Times,
people, a
like,
lot
this
of prominent
is an awesome
people.
Tweet. It wasn't
you
even,
saying it was an inside job?
It literally,
a lot of prominent people
I never read that
Eric
tweet.
It literally wasn't even game theory that he was doing.
No, it was just
it was
the ramblings of a madman.
It was a ramblings of a madman.
Jamie.
Tomorrow, that's what's happening. Patreon.com/TMBS. Also, check out the illicit history of Joe Biden with Zach Carter.
Jamie.
This week on the Antifada, our current episode is still out. We talk with Ellie Valley, writer and illustrator, about Jewish identity, Zionism, and his run-ins with Meghan McCain and Chelsea Clinton, who are practically the same person at this point in time. Also, over the weekend, we recorded an episode on the Brexit for anyone who is curious to know more and understand what that's all about, what's going on. And also, we recorded a very special bonus because we reached our goal of 666 patrons by May Day. So we had some of them call in and talk to us. And it was really special and fun and cool. Oh, and if technically we're done with the prize packs because we hit our goal. But if you sign up soon and you want one too, just let us know and we'll get one out to you.
Tonight, Literary Hangover is recording on The Soul of Man Under Socialism by Oscar Wilde. It's his only political essay. We're going to talk about anarchists and sort of like William Morris arts and crafts sort of socialism. And yeah, talk about that. It'll be interesting. We have David Griscom of TMBS will be joining us. That won't come out until two Saturdays from now, but we might release something for the patrons this Saturday.
All right, folks, quick break. Fun half, 646-257-3920. Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude.
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 You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
Some good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Hell yeah.
Now listen to me. Two, three, four, five. five times, 847-906-5014-572-38-56-27. One half, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance. My first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's. I want to just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me,
hey, shut up.
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.